We don't have anything that does for us what, well, for want of a better example, something like Ms. does for white women. You know, we don't have that kind of magazine. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm advocating the need for a Black Ms., but a magazine that is going to speak to us in terms of what we're talking about now. We don't have that, you know. We don't have the radio shows that are directed to Black women that are talking about what we're talking about. What we get is a lot of fashion.
Yeah, I just wanted to break in here and say that I was really sadly disappointed when I found out and had the occasion to watch the first, well, I guess it was the premiere program of what was touted to be as a new program, and the title of it was For You Black Women. And I turned it on, anxiously waiting to hear what people would have to say to me, and all I saw was talk of fashions. And this is not what I had in mind at all.
Not only just talk of fashions, but talking about, I mean, you know, talking about clothing in a way and dealing with clothing in a way that is really a direct insult, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
to most women and certainly to most Black women.
Mm-hmm.
The clothing that they show you is not clothing that is designed with the Black figure in mind. The prices, I mean, all of that,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then the kind of emphasis or importance that they put on clothing, it's like, it's how you look is really the most important thing that's happening. What's going on in your brain is not important,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, I mean, I don't know. It seems like to me, at the stage that we're at now, you hear more women questioning this. And so it seems that this might be a good time for somebody to come along with some means of communication that are designed for Black women to take us beyond Essence and Ebony.
Okay, there might be listeners in the audience who might want to join our discussion. The number to call is 359-5200, 359-5200. In terms of that, in terms of the kinds of things that we need to know, in terms of the kinds of things that we are desperately seeking, of course we don't have our own communications facility, we don't have our own magazine, other than Ebony and Essence, as you mentioned. And the emphasis there is not, to me, as beneficial to us as it should be.
It's certainly one-sided.
Yeah, uh-huh. And I just wonder what course we have. One thing that disturbs me is that I see young people coming out of high school now, and it seems that all of the struggle that has gone down before, whether it be for equal rights, whether it be for the end to sexism, whether it be for freedoms that were previously closed to us, it seems that these young people are not dealing with any of those, and they seem to be more materialistic in their orientation. And in terms of young Black women, I see that they seem to be more interested in dressing to be attractive, so that they can attract a husband, as opposed to dressing to suit their careers or to suit their feelings, just the way they feel and expressing themselves. 371-5200. I'm sorry, I gave the wrong number before. 371-5200 is the number to call. It's area code 212. But this is something that really disturbs me to see this.
Well, again, when you look at the input that, you know, I've just finished 5 years of teaching college.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when you look at the input that these young sisters are getting, there's not any input to encourage them to move beyond.
So you're saying that, in other words, the role models that we have are not sufficient.
Very insufficient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very insufficient. woefully insufficient. Mm.
We have a few callers on the line, so why don't we go to them?
Oh, good.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes. Could you turn your radio down, please? Yes, you're on the air. Oh, no, I guess we lost that one. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
I'm so glad to hear somebody talking honestly about black women's problems. I just want to encourage this sort of thing.
Well, do you have any comments or suggestions in terms of what we can do in order to better our plight?
Well, I don't know. I've been a member of the Manhattan Women's Political Caucus mm-hmm. since 1972, and I worked in Shirley Chisholm's campaign, and I've been trying, and I'm all out of ideas, but I think it's important to just keep airing the issues. That's all I can say.
Okay. Thank you for calling. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to speak to the guest in reference to a topic on women's rights.
Mm-hmm. That's Hattie Gossett. Yeah, she's here.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yes. I took a course. It was...
With me?
Psychology of Women. And it was a very interesting course down at St. Francis. And what happened was that I found that during the course, they had a visitation by two female lesbians. And this was part of the, experience end of the course, you know? Mm-hmm. And they got into rights and whatnot, and they, for some reason, tried to justify their plight in regard with the plight with rights in terms of black people. And I just want to know some of your views on that.
Okay. Oppression is oppression, right? All oppression is rooted in the same thing, you know? It's about a power and authority, you know? It's about I am on the top and you are on the bottom, you know? And it gets expressed in a lot of different ways. It gets expressed in terms of age. If you're too old, you ain't cool. If you're too young, you ain't cool. If you're a woman, you ain't cool. If you're black or some other color than white, you ain't cool, you know? So sexism, racism, it gets expressed in terms of class, you know? The closer you are to, you know, the upper class, you know? So, you know, sexism, racism, classism, all those isms, it's all rooted in the same thing, you know? So, yes, there is an analogy there.
But is it one where black women and black men can more or less take up and fight for it, or is there separation? Because I myself, I'm a black person, mm-hmm. and I was sitting in the class and I was very much offended because of this alignment. Maybe because my own preference, my own.
You have some kind of prejudice against lesbians. You know, and you may have a problem identifying with lesbians, in which case it's obvious that you have been a victim of sexism, you know,
okay,
which I'm not putting you down for that. You know, I mean, all of us have been victimized by those kind of negative ideas. So that, but the point that I'm trying to make, the thing that helped me to be able to deal with it, if I recognize my oppression as a black person that stems from racism, and then I cannot relate to other people who are oppressed.
In a different...
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If I can't see that there is some commonality in our oppression, you know, then I have a problem. In other words, if I'm an oppressed person and I suffer from that, and then I turn around and extend that same oppressive behavior to lesbians, say, or gay men, say, or people who are younger than me, you know, then there's a contradiction,
uh-huh.
you know? Uh-huh. So if it's wrong for white people to mess with me in terms of racism, then it's also wrong for me to be messing with somebody else who is oppressed.
Because of their sexual preference.
Right.
I see.
You know?
Okay, dear. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
WBAI, you're on the air. Turn your radio down, please.
Yep, I just did.
Okay.
Elaine, I wanted to respond to something that you raised with your guest about women taking jobs away from men.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's true that most of the jobs in the job market are not common to both males and females,
mm-hmm.
as more women go out and compete for jobs that were previously only open to men, such as phone installer, working on construction crews, etc.,
mm-hmm.
There is a very, I mean, I think it's would also be to the point to talk about the backlash that women experience in those previously all-male jobs. And Malcolm X had an expression about the media turning people against the oppressed instead of the oppressor, and I think that's a classical situation.
Yes, I would say so. I would have to agree with you there.
And say my friend's job as a phone installer, the men really, really hated her, and
mm-hmm.
the reason they expressed it in such vigorous terms is that they said that she was taking a job away from a man who had a family to feed.
And just like she didn't
really
have somebody to
feed.
What's
these people
yeah.
is that... In a profit-oriented society, in an economy that is not oriented for the benefit of the majority of the people, we're made to feel like we are the enemy.
Yeah, and one of the things that really bothers me in terms of that whole women are taking jobs away from men is that, one, who said that men had the prerogative
right.
to make themselves the preferred group of people who are supposed to be picked over women? Who are also trying to support families, feed themselves, so on and so forth.
And
so that's
you don't have a family to feed.
Well, you've got to feed yourself.
Why is it always scapegoating so that blacks are and whites are at each other's throats, and that men and women are at each other's throats? I mean, you know, the ruling class continually wants to keep one group as scabs, whether they're blacks or whether they're females, or you know, like a little reserve labor pool of just underlings that they can sort of throw in a desperate situation to keep other people from getting uppity and demanding more in terms of wages or benefits.
To cloud the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, and then another thing, too, like the woman who has to be a provider is already she's viewed as being really not too cool, because if she was really together, she would have a man taking care of her. You know what I'm saying?
I just made her feel abnormal.
Yeah, already. You
yeah.
know, and so then if she has the nerve to string up the telephone wire, oh my God, you know.
Yeah, but it's no one's in this situation. No one seems to think to raise the issue of why don't we have a kind of full working economy that does provide productive labor for anybody who wants
that,
it and needs it.
That
yeah.
is the question.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
That's,
mm-hmm.
that's the
an
bottom
issue
line.
That they don't address. It's like so much easier to point the finger at somebody who's female or black, you know, who's threatening your little niche in
exactly.
that.
Rather than to look to the broader issues. But again, the leadership that we have encourages us to do that. Not only black leadership, but for instance, labor union leadership, for the most part, does not fight enough against those kind of attitudes and try to educate white workers, you know, mm-hmm. about those kind of attitudes, you know? So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, not since the 30s has any of them, you know, labor, quote,
yeah.
labor leaders been serious about fighting for the rights of any of the workers.
Yes, yeah. yeah.
An acknowledged fact at this point. But I think as the economic system gets worse and worse, you know, that contradiction of pointing the finger at one scapegoat or another, be it, you know, blacks, women, whoever, you know, immigrants, you know, illegal
right.
aliens,
right.
whoever they are.
Right.
It's you know, finally people are going to have to come to their senses, because unless we do, you know,
yeah.
right to the end, you know, be at each other's throats.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will have anything to be fighting for the last scrap of whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for calling.
Bye.
WBAI, you're on the air. Hello? WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes. Do you have your radio turned up? If you do, I would suggest that you turn it down. It'll make it easier. Still there?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Johnny.
I'm sorry? Well, let's go on to another one. Oh, now we have a dial tone. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello? 371-5200 is the number to call. If you want to join our discussion that we're having with our guest this evening is Hattie Gossett. And we've been talking about some of the quirks and liberation, women's liberation, black women and women's liberation, people and women's liberation. And we have some calls. Somebody's calling now. WBAI, you're on the air. Yes.
WBI?
Yes.
Oh, I wanted to speak with Elaine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean you want to have a private conversation?
Huh?
Did you want to speak about the topic that we're discussing? Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you want to participate in the conversation that we're having?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, what did you have to say?
This is Elaine, and Hattie's on the line as well.
Okay.
Okay.
I wanted to ask a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I wanted to know, make a criticism.
Mm-hmm.
That I think one of the reasons that black women don't participate in the movement to the extent that they possibly could is because there's a total lack of awareness of what the women's rights issues are all about. I, for one, have been trying to get a clear, concise understanding of what ERA is trying to say, and it seems like it's impossible to do that, to pin people down around those issues.
Where did you go to get your information?
Well, the first place I went was League of Women Voters, because I wanted to know if there was another place that was better. And all I got from them was a little leaflet.
Did you go to the ERA people?
Excuse me?
Did you go to the ERA people and get some of their literature?
Some groups have organized on behalf of ERA. Have you been in touch with any of them?
I don't know who they are.
Ah, okay.
What I'm saying is that possibly a lot of black women are in the same place around that area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I can agree with you there.
Okay.
And did you say you had 2 points you wanted to raise?
Yeah, the other was about the young people.
Uh-huh.
I think that perhaps, and I'm still very young myself, but I think that perhaps some movement needs to be made within the black movement itself to do a reevaluation job on our morals and our value systems. I think what's happened is that in black people in trying to move into the mainstream of things have lost sight of what our own moralities are. And I think that perhaps we need to address those types of systems and issues.
Yes, I want to thank you too for raising those issues, and I must admit I have to agree with you there.
Okay.
You know, the movie that's out now, A Piece of the Action.
No.
You heard about that movie? I haven't seen it. But just the title of the movie is very indicative of the present, you know, prevailing moral and ethical attitudes, you know, that we seem to be having, you know. We don't really want anything different. We just want a bigger piece of what's already here.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, when you really dig it, when you have that kind of idea, then it's not possible to come up with something that's going to be new and different and is going to speak to the problems that we're talking about, because you're not talking about any kind of solution that's going to make some difference. If you just want a piece, you know, James Baldwin talks about going into the burning house.
Uh-huh.
If you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, if you just want a piece of the pie that already exists, then you ain't really talking. Not you personally, but we are not really talking about anything. So then it's like the pressure is on those of us who can see past that to try to present some kind of challenge to that idea, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for calling.
My husband wanted to say something.
Oh, okay.
Hello, I want to speak to Gossett.
Yeah, all right.
Gossett is here.
Can I speak to Gossett?
Yes.
She's here.
Is that you talking, Miss
yes.
Hattie Gossett? Listen.
Yes.
As a black man, I feel that a lot of things have not been done for black women by black men, right? And as an excuse, not a reason, as an excuse, I'd like to say we were too busy ducking our own oppression. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
not realizing
it. I have a long history also of being negligent toward black women. But hopefully, with voices like yours, Ms. Gossett, raised in protest, well then, a lot more of us will wake up.
Well, I want to thank you very much for making those comments.
Mm.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Okay, I think we have time for maybe one more call, so let's try and take another one. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi.
I'll turn my radio down.
Oh, yes. Hello? Oh, I think we've possibly have lost that call. No? Are you still there?
I was listening to the program, and mm-hmm. I rather enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, it's a serious situation. I'm black, and what I'm really calling to say that you have, it seems to me that patience is the black person itself must have the, first of all, I have to say the intelligence and the merit, because we do have the patient. But it seems to me, too, that with all that, and the educational status as far as graduation, black to white, it's a small percentage and so on, and these menial jobs are given to the black person. We know you mentioned factories and waitress or whatever might have you, barmaid. As far as in the structure of middle class, so on, that would take in the teachers and what have you, went higher than that, you know, executives, so on. But we're coming along, but as far as ERA, I strongly believe in it. I believe why a black person really isn't seen so much is the fact that as far as the board itself, we have a job keeping and organizing in the line of patients. Merits education, of course. The doors aren't really opened, and we have a job in itself. Now, to leave this, per se, and join these other helpful, meaningful organizations and so on.
It's not about leaving. It's about, that's just another area of our struggle.
It in other words, it means that we have to work on more than one level. We can't just work and struggle against racism. You know, it's not enough to do that. We also have to struggle against sexism. And I might add that we also have to struggle against class conflict.
Ageism, many things.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
So, and what you're saying is right. I mean, God knows we already got enough to do. You know,
it's quite a bit.
Yeah. But in order,
I was thinking more or less. Let's say now, if we did rally around the clock, I might be speaking as prejudice, but I'm not. So help me, it's just a condition. And these things did come about. Would we be counted, or as usual, would be a small part of us would, but in majority, we. When I say we, I mean black people. It would be a low count, but we put everything into it and get nothing out of it, per se.
Well, it depends on how you view that.
I think it would be up to us.
Yeah. I mean,
the white power from the top, black or white,
mm-hmm.
and in the course, yes, long term for the black person. Except for the ones that are outstanding, you can count. And believe me, if you can count them, they really...
On one finger.
...in tears. So, you know, it's easier for the white than the black. In a lay term, it's easier for the white than the black to get on the board, to be heard, to forecast, to do...
I would tend to disagree with what you're saying, you know. If you look at black history, if you look at the history of any oppressed people in general, we find a way when we get ready to express ourselves. We find a way, you know, no matter how much mud we may have to dig out of. When we get ready to be heard, we can find a way to be heard, you know. I mean, when we get mad enough about something, we can make ourselves be heard. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I'm going along, yes.
You
we're
know,
heard,
like,
but
I mean, if you...
Thank God we heard. Understand what I'm trying to say. And but the point is, when we are heard, the percentage, it's as a minute, it's powerful, but yet it has to come along.
Yeah, well.
That's what I mean. From the schools on down to the churches and so on and so forth. But you, we're trying, and we're there, really, but mainly just have to, to me, it has to be a bit more expedient.
Thank you very much for calling.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say that, yeah, the struggle is a monumental one, and there are many things that we have to struggle against as black people, as people in general, as women, as you know, the, everybody has to struggle, and very often we think that what we are trying to say is going to be lost, and therefore we give up, and that is not the correct attitude for us to take. We have to keep on and keep on and keep on. We have to go. At the time is about up. I want to thank Hattie for being with us on this evening's edition of Our City, Our Lives. And the program this evening was engineered by Andina Fiore.
Ain't it hard to stumble? Ain't got no place to fall. Ain't it hard? If the wolf man's knocking at your door,